Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website, which is www.theorganicview.com. If you have any questions or would like to connect with us, you can simply post a question on our wall on Facebook, send us a tweet to @TheOrganicView, or contact me directly at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. Today's show is sponsored by Eden Foods, one of the most trusted names in certified organic clean foods. Listeners of the Organic View Radio Show can receive 20% off any regularly priced items, excluding cases. Simply enter the coupon code ORGVIEW when prompted during checkout. That's ORGVIEW. For more special offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. Recently, I hosted a discussion with bee experts Walter Hofiker and Randy Oliver about the impact of neonicotinoids on bee health. Due to the overwhelming response for more information, we will continue to explore this subject today with world-renowned toxicologist Dr. Henk Tanakies and bee advocate Tom Theobald to continue this discussion. This is the second of a three-part series in which we will review some of the common beliefs as stated in the Oliver-Hofiker discussion. For those of you that missed the live show, please visit theorganicview.com, which is the only place where you can actually listen to the entire show. The second issue that we will explore involves the partial ban on neonicotinoids in Europe. It was suggested that the United States should follow the European lead on partially banning neonicotinoids. Is this something the EPA should do? Let's talk about it with two other experts. So I would first like to welcome to the show Dr. Henk Tanakies. Good afternoon, Dr. Tanakies, and welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon, June.
And I would also like to welcome to the show Mr. Tom Theobald. Good afternoon, Tom, and welcome back.
Hello, June. Hello, Henk. It's good to meet again.
Hello, Tom.
So it's great to have you both. Now, for our listeners, I want to explain exactly what's going to happen today. Recently, I conducted an interview with two respected bee experts about neonicotinoids and global bee losses. I hosted a show in which Mr. Randy Oliver, who is a biologist and owner of scientificbeekeeping.com, and Mr. Walter Hofiker, who is president of the European Professional Beekeepers Association and member of the board of directors for the German Professional Beekeepers Association and the coordinator of the Appamondia Working Group on GMOs, participated in a discussion presenting at times opposite views but also shared some of the same views. So today, we're basically going to revisit that interview. Dr. Tanakies will be commenting, as well as Tom Theobald, as far as both participants' responses. So first, I would just like to take a moment to thank Dr. Tanakies. Thank you for coming on the show today. I know that it's the evening where you're at, so thank you for taking the time. Oh, it's always great to have you on. And also, Tom Theobald, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, June.
Now, I'm going to begin by airing a clip, which question and their responses, and then the response will begin with Henk and then followed by Tom's response.
So this is the second question that was asked to our previous panel. Should the United States follow the European lead on partially banning neonicotinoids, and why?
At this point, I mean, you're asking the questions, but I would have asked some other questions prior to this, so maybe I should back up a little bit. And here's the thing is, when you look at the scientific evidence, there is a lot of suggestive evidence. But then what I do is, when I look at the suggestive evidence, it's also often kind of scary, I then go out into the field and look at the actual on-the-ground evidence, speak to beekeepers, look at how successful they are in various areas, where they are indeed exposed to these chemicals. And, I mean, when I first, you know, the neonicotinoids first came to my attention, I thought, oh, my God, we got to ban these things. I mean, I've been an organic gardener myself for 35 years, and I'm a treatment-free beekeeper. So I'm very much not in the camp of using pesticides in any form. But I'm also a realist. And when I go out to the field and speak to beekeepers who are in areas of heavy neonicotinoid use, they're saying that it's the best it's ever been, you know, with pesticides here in the United States. When I speak to the beekeepers in Australia, it's a similar thing. So what's happening is and I say Australia because Australia doesn't have the Varroa mite, the number one problem for bees worldwide. So it's a very good control group to see what the impact is of something without the impact of the Varroa mite, which is our number one problem. So the on-the-ground evidence doesn't seem to support some of the claims that the neonicotinoids are the cause of the demise of bees. Now, on the other hand, there are certain uses of the neonicotinoids that are causing serious problems. There was a major kill from planting dust in 2008 in Germany. The problem has been addressed to some extent by modifying the planters. And in the United States, they haven't done that. And the problem was with the EPA, they weren't getting any reports from beekeepers complaining about it. So the EPA representatives came to the national conventions and asked the beekeepers the last few years to please tell them if they're having any adverse effects reports, because without adverse effects reports, as far as the regulatory agency is concerned, nothing is happening. So the beekeepers have started sending those in, and there was an incident in Canada, in Ontario, in 2012, and it's made it very clear, yes, that there's planting dust issues in the United States, and in that case, I would totally support restricting that particular use until they get that technological glitch worked out. Now, as far as a total ban, and the question is, again now, are you asking about honeybees or are you asking about all species? Now, if you're talking about honeybees, I'm not seeing an on-the-ground evidence in the United States that would suggest a complete ban of them. There is, however, some evidence as far as some of the other native species that I would have more concerned about. The good thing that we're seeing is that everybody's on board on this. All the pesticide risk assessment between EFSA, the Canadian PMRA, the U.S. EPA, they're all on board to change in 2014 the way they assess these chemicals, and we'll have much better risk assessment at that point. So, God, now I can't remember what the original question was.
Should the U.S. do
a ban? At this point, I would support a restriction on planting dust unless there's somebody actually compensating the beekeepers when there are these occasional planting dust kills. As far as once the neonicotinoids are in the ground, I don't see evidence supporting that they're a problem. On the field studies I've looked at, they don't support that there's a problem. Now, there are some other issues. Used on citrus, as in Florida, for fear of citrus greening, they're devastating to all pollinators. There's areas of Florida that are considered toxic to pollinators, and the state actually has a map saying, do not move bees here. Well, as an environmentalist, that's unacceptable to me. So that particular use I would be very much concerned about for the use with chemigation on watermelons. You can get toxic levels in the pollen. That's been documented. So that would be a particular use I'd restrict. But that's really different than a complete ban on using them. I mean, the reason that the neonicotinoids were developed were as an alternative to the previous classes of pesticides, especially the organophosphates and the organochlorines. The organochlorines, chlordane and DDT and stuff, they've been largely phased out now. The organophosphates have largely been phased out because they're just complete biocides. They get into the environment, they just kill everything. They get in the water, they hurt the fish and everything. The neonicotinoids were developed as a reduced risk insecticide. They're lower toxicity to mammals, which we are mammals, we humans, lower toxicity to birds, to fish. They're not perfect. Any pest, any insecticide, side means to kill. You know, they're all designed to kill things, okay? You can't get around that. So what you're trying to do is to get something, if you want the farmers to use something else, you got to get something that we're trying to move towards things that are safer. So the neonicotinoids have been considered in the U.S. to be reduced risk insecticides, and I would say they pretty much lived up to that. It's not perfect, and we're on the learning curve on this, but I think it's a step forward. The problem that we send to the companies that we ask to develop the newer classes, the biocides, the much more environmentally friendly insecticides, is that if they spend millions of dollars to develop a new class of insecticides with everybody's approval on this, and then we just suddenly yank the rug out of them somewhere down the line without going through a clear legal risk assessment process, that sends a message to them that maybe they shouldn't invest that money in trying to come up with better alternatives to the types of insecticides and other pesticides that we're using right now. And this concerns me. I think the process really should be based upon very, very clear, incontrovertible scientific evidence. And if there's clear problems, then do a partial restriction, but not a total ban.
Thank you. Walter, should the United States follow the European lead on partially banning neonicotinoids, and why?
Yeah, since that was the original question, Randy and I are actually in agreement here that at least a partial ban is called for. And why should the U.S. follow the European lead? I think the scientific process that went on here in Europe wasn't just looking at science conducted in Europe, but was trying to encompass all available science. And in workshops on this issue in EFSA, U.S. and Canadian and scientists from other countries participated in it. So it's not necessary to reinvent the wheel. I think the information that was compiled about these products in this process could very well inform the decision-making process in the U.S. as well. The reason this is just a partial ban is exactly that the scientific evidence was used to strike a balance between the precautionary principle on the one hand and protecting bees and the environment and the needs of conventional farmers to have some products available. So since the European position was essentially a compromise position between the industry saying everything should be continue to be available as is and environmental groups asking for a total ban, taking a look at this compromise that was reached in Europe that was accepted by the member states, I think would be a very good idea for the United States.
Okay. Dr. Tenekes, can you please comment?
Okay. Well, it seems to me that many are not aware of the actual disaster that is facing us. These chemicals are so toxic to arthropods and are so persistent in the environment that a ban is really necessary. Neonicotinoids exhibit a potential for accumulation in the soil. They can be taken up by succeeding crops up to at least 2 years after application. And what we've seen as well is that there's tremendous environmental pollution with these compounds. That's been demonstrated in my native country, Holland. It's been demonstrated in Texas on the wetlands of the southern high plains. It's been shown in California in the Central Valley, and it's been shown in Canada in the wetlands of the prairies. So wherever these insecticides are being used, they contaminate the environment and they're highly persistent and exceptionally toxic to arthropods. So if we continue along this road, then we are threatening the arthropods of extinction and all the species that depend on arthropods. And this is a risk we cannot possibly take. So I think the fact that the precautionary principle was used to ban at least a few applications of neonicotinoids is common sense, really.
Thank you. And Tom, could you please comment?
Yes, I guess I would say that I disagree with both Walter and Randy, and my position has changed over time as I have learned more and more and seen more and more of the science. I thought initially that what would be reasonable would be an orderly withdrawal of these products from the market to minimize the impact on farmers. But the more I see of the science, and contrary to what Mr. Oliver says, the science is not just suggestive. It's very clear. It's very clear what's going on here. And I don't believe that we can have a partial withdrawal and see much change in the damage, because these are pernicious, pervasive, long-lasting pesticides. Here in the United States, we have potentially poisoned 242 million acres with commodity crops that are seed-treated with these chemicals, and untold millions of urban and suburban acres, and it gets into the groundwater, it migrates with the groundwater, it lasts for years, very small amounts can have profound effects. Mr. Oliver made the comment that it's safer for birds. Well, is it or isn't it? The American Bird Conservancy recently came out with a very extensive report on the dramatic decline of grassland birds because of the poisoning of the insect life as a consequence of these systemic pesticides. And just within the last 2 weeks, we've seen research out of Saskatchewan where the researcher has documented imidacloprid, one of the neonicotinoids, in the Canadian potholes, the water, at as much as 100 times the legal limit prior to planting. This is a chemical that has been carried over from previous seasons. So we're faced, as Hank has said from the very beginning, we're faced with a disaster. And I'm sorry to say that I don't believe a partial withdrawal is the answer. I think these chemicals are the plutonium of pesticides, and there is no safe use.
That's entirely correct. Environment Canada has conducted a water study in Saskatchewan on canola fields, and they found clothianidin in a large number of agricultural sites where canola had been planted in 2011. And the concentrations of residual clothianidin in puddles and ditches were almost 1,000 times the LD50 required to kill bees. So if you're faced with these data and you know that that these chemicals are quite persistent and will be in the environment for a long time, it is clear that they're going to exterminate invertebrate species. And they may even cause a break in the food chain, because there may not be enough invertebrate food for species that depend on invertebrates. So basically, what we're getting is a domino effect on insects and insect-dependent species. And this is really huge. The impact on biodiversity is probably going to be bigger than we've ever seen before if we keep going up this way. So we really need to impose a ban on these insidious chemicals.
June, I'd like to just touch on one point that Mr. Oliver raised, and that is that everything is fine in Australia. This is a point that's been raised repeatedly by the industry, and their position is that Australia does not have the varroa mite. The varroa is the primary problem, and Australia is having no problems. Well, that just simply is not the case. And Australian beekeepers have seen the same sort of carnage that American beekeepers have. And in fact, you did an interview with a commercial beekeeper from Australia, and I would hope that you could put the link to the article that gentleman did on the Australian conditions, because things are not good in Australia.
Actually, I've done a couple of interviews with folks in Australia, a leader in the beekeeping community and also one of the top exporters of honey and bee products. It was quite interesting just to see what's going on down there. As Dr. Tenneke's book describes it, it is truly a disaster in the making.
No, I think we basically pointed out that neonicotinoid insecticides are probably the worst pesticides ever introduced in agriculture, and that are really, really causing a disaster in the environment. I think we've made that point, and I think it should be clear to anybody that there was good scientific reasoning to impose a ban on certain applications of these pesticides. And I think the Americans should follow suit.
I agree. Thank you, Hank and Tom, for your participation in today's show. Folks, we are out of time, but please tune in next week for the third and final installment of this three-part series. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic Bee Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.